Last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and this is the season of Lent. Lent is a season of 40 days, and it does not count Sundays. And it begins on Ash Wednesday, and it ends on Holy Saturday. Lent, the word, comes from the Anglo-Saxon word Lenten, which means spring. These are the 40 days that represent the time Jesus spent in the wilderness enduring the temptation of Satan and preparing to begin his ministry. Lent, traditionally, with the history of the church, was a time of repentance. It's a time of fasting and a time of preparation for the coming of Easter. It's also a time of self-examination and reflection. In the early church, Lent was a time that they would prepare the new converts for baptism. And yet now, in our world, Lent, many Christians, during the season of Lent, they focus on their relationship with God and often associate the season of Lent with choosing to give up something or to volunteer and give of themselves for others. This morning, we're beginning a new series titled Praying and Fasting for God. And I worded it specifically for that because I want to challenge all of us to think about why we do what we do. And if we are looking for more of what God can give to us, and if we are esteeming the gifts of God more than God himself, then I'm here to share with all of us that we are just misaligned and our priorities are backwards. Over the next 5 weeks, I want to challenge all of us that we need to pray and we need to fast for God, for our relationship with God, to grow in our journey with Christ. In this season of Lent, I'm going to challenge all of us to look at our walk with Jesus and to look at our journey with Jesus through new lenses, through new glasses. So this morning, I want to do four things. The title of the message is God's Prescription and Purpose. And really, we're going to look at fasting. What does it mean to fast? And I'm going to define fasting, and then we're going to look at three specific purposes. You'll notice in your bulletin in the center section that 3 points are the reason for fasting. Then we need to recognize the need to fast, and then we will all experience the result from fasting. So let's define fasting here. And this is my definition from the studies that I've done. Fasting is the giving up of something of this physical world in exchange for a spiritual discipline that will foster or grow our relationship with Jesus. And notice that. It's giving up something of this physical world to exchange that comfort of this world for a spiritual discipline which will grow and foster our walk with Jesus. True biblical fasting is motivated by a grievous event, such as grieving for the poor, the injustices of the world, illnesses, repentance over sin, and even grief over the sin of another. Fasting is truly placing our relationship with Jesus over the comforts of this world. I can't say that enough. What do we value more? What do we esteem more? Do we esteem being comfort, the creature comforts here in this world, or do we esteem our journey with Christ as being the most highly sought after, the most valued possession? Fasting, it will align us with those we mourn or grieve over. And this, my friends, in us will always promote humility and compassion, and it will move us to serve. It will allow us to more clearly hear the Lord, since our lives will not be so polluted with the noise of life. And yes, I said the noise of life. It's so easy in life to get polluted with all the voices from the news and from the television, from the radio, from the internet, from cell phones, from iPods and iPads, and from all of these external devices that speak to us, and they have this agenda speaking into our life that the noise, we got to sometimes just stop and cut through if we truly want to hear God's voice and God's word. Fasting allows those vices or those struggles in our lives to come to the surface so we can address them with the help of the Holy Spirit and through the power of God's grace and his mercy. I want to make this note. Fasting is normally associated with not eating, which brings concerns. For those of us who have health issues and those of us who have or have struggled with eating disorders, before anyone here begins to fast from food, I'm going to just throw it out. You all ought to, as I should, consult with your physician to make sure it's safe. But I want to challenge us to think outside the realm and include other things in the realm of fasting. To go without food is to sacrifice for the love of Jesus and to bring our relationship with him to the forefront of our lives. And yet it's possible for some of us to sacrifice an hour of sleep by getting up earlier for the motivation to have our quiet time with Christ. It would also be possible to sacrifice watching the television and spend time in prayer. It would be possible to give up the internet or a cell phone to eliminate distractions throughout the day and concentrate upon the Lord. Fasting truly is placing our relationship with Jesus Christ above our earthly comforts. And so we honestly can fast from anything in this world, anything. There's no limit to what we can or cannot fast from. So long as we replace the time or the comfort with seeking Jesus as your Lord and Savior and to grow in your walk, in your journey, in your relationship with him. Before we get to our text this morning, I want to just unpack a little bit as to how did Jesus view fasting and prayer. And I want us to understand something. In Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness." Notice that phrase. He says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness." Those things that he's calling an act of righteousness. "Before men to be seen by them, if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." And then the three acts or the three things that Jesus speaks of as being an act of righteousness are giving alms to the poor, praying, and fasting. These three are viewed by Jesus as an act of righteousness. It's interesting to me that Jesus places prayer and fasting alongside with a physical act, and I believe that there's a reason for this. My personal belief is that he has two against one, two in spiritual disciplines, praying and fasting, two spiritual disciplines that foster our spiritual journey with Christ, because he knew exactly how tempted we all get with wanting to enter into mundane service, the dead works of service that are not motivated by the love of Christ, that are not motivated with a good heart, a pure heart. They're motivated by selfish gain and things that we just think we have to do. And a caution for all of us is this. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the individual who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in your name?' And then Jesus said that he will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.'" And so a physical act of service, not filled with the motive of the love of Christ, not filled with the proper motivation, Jesus equates that to being an evil doer. So why fasting? Because it should bring us in tune with where our journey with Jesus is at. It should bring us in tune with our walk with Christ. It should check our motives at the door, so to speak. It should check why we do what we do. And I'll be honest, I am not into dead work service. I am not into that whatsoever. We can all be about doing that, but if we never foster our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's possible service will all be in vain. And yes, it will all be in vain. The scripture tells us that in the end, everything will be purified by fire. And if it's true, if it's lasting, if it's of the right motivation, it will be lasting and it will endure. If it's not, it will be like wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be burned up. Friends, I don't want the physical acts of service here of Trinity United Methodist Church to be like wood, hay, and stubble and just to be consumed by the fire. This entire series, Praying and Fasting for God, is all about developing our relationship with Jesus Christ and getting back to the heart of our first love, Jesus. There's a contemporary song titled "More Love, More Power." And I believe the lyrics speak to the very essence of this sermon series. And the lyrics go like this: "More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength, for you are my Lord. You are my Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life. and I will seek your face with all of my heart, and I will seek your face with all of my mind, face with all of my strength, for you are my Lord, you are my Lord. We can stand and pause and say it's very simple, but the essence of growing our relationship with Christ is very simple. My hope and my prayer is that we move through this series, our hearts will catch a flame with the Holy Spirit, and we will grow with God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love. And this morning, if you have your Bibles, and I certainly hope you brought them, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 17. This leads us into the first point, the reason for fasting. And I believe that this is the most important text of all the scripture on fasting. Jesus addresses it. He is approached by the disciples of John the Baptist, and they ask him a question. So if you have your Bibles open, please follow along as I read, beginning in verse 14. Then the disciples of John, that's John the Baptist, came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." Now this is Jesus talking here. "And no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled or destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." The reason for fasting. Jesus has asked the question, why do we, meaning John the Baptist's disciples, and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? His response is uncanny, and he says, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? It's important that we all know that Jesus was referring to himself as the bridegroom, and the church of Jesus Christ is the bride of Christ. And so he is saying, as long as Jesus is with them, there's no need to fast. Because when we are in Christ's presence, it's time to feast. It's important that we hear that. To fully understand this text, we need to understand and look at the motivation for fasting from the Old Testament perspective. And this is the old garment, the old wineskin that Jesus talked about, and how people related to God from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, fasting was primarily done in anticipation of the Messiah. The Israelites had specific days they would fast. Not the least of these was the Day of Atonement, which was once each year. Fasting of the Old Testament was done with respect of the grievous events, such as disaster, to express grief and repentance for people to humble themselves and to obtain God's guidance. Now picture this, the deliverance of God and the arrival of the Messiah, or Jesus, was at the very core of the reason why individuals in the Old Testament fasted. And yet now he's approached and he's asked this question, why do other people fast but your disciples do not? And he is saying, Jesus was saying, I am the Messiah. And he, being Jesus, is the one who will make atonement for all people who receive him. And so when he was asked this question, he says the guests of the bridegroom do not have any reason to fast while he's present. Because everything that was anticipated, everything that was looked forward to, the arrival of the Messiah, that which was being delivered from God, comes in the person and God, Jesus. God's deliverance, God's grace of forgiveness, and God's provision for the future arrived in Jesus Christ. The motive to fast can no longer be to gain God's grace, God's forgiveness, or God's deliverance and his future provision, since all those have been provided in the work of Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, everything, Jesus is the fulfillment. He is everything that God promised. And we stand at the pinnacle between now Jesus is resurrected, he sits at the right hand of the Father, and yet we anticipate when he will return again. As I mentioned earlier, when we're in the presence of Christ, it's time to feast. When we are all in eternity with the Lord, we will be all at the banquet of the Lord, supping with him for all of eternity. So why do we fast? What is the real reason for fasting? Jesus himself stated there will be a day when the bridegroom is no longer with the guests, and that way they will fast. Jesus is not against fasting, we can see. He even began his ministry with a 40-day fast in the wilderness, which is why Lent is 40 days before Easter, to prepare us in anticipation for the celebration. So Jesus has come, he's lived, he's been crucified, he's been resurrected. And when he walked the earth, it's easy to see why the disciples would not fast, because he was physically in their presence most of the time. And we can say, yes, he's not in our presence, but he promised you and I he would not leave us orphans. In John 14, 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus has come to you and to me in the form of the Holy Spirit. So the very presence of Jesus Christ, who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, who was crucified and who was resurrected, now sitting at the right hand of God the Father, is sealing your heart, is dwelling inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, because we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ dwells in you and in me. So you and I, we are in the presence of the bridegroom, Jesus. Yet even still, we should ache. We should ache for the day where we will not long for when the injustices happen. We should still ache for the day which will come when we will be completely at home with the Lord. You see, we still live in this in-between phase where the injustices, the things of this world, they happen, and it should promote us and cause us and cause us to move forward, to yearn for that day where we have that uninterrupted, unhindered fellowship with the Holy One. You see, friends, there's nothing this earth can do to satisfy the deep inner longing and craving than to be at home with the Creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. This deep hunger and deep thirsting is the motivation for all of us living the post-resurrection, meaning living post-resurrection, after it happened. You and I, yes, the resurrection has happened, yes, but we should deeply hunger and thirst for more of Christ in our life. This is the difference between the Old Testament and us. It's mainly the motivation for why we fast. We yearn for the coming fulfillment of Jesus' return, or when he takes us home to be with him in glory. So we forego the comforts of this world to place the emphasis upon our relationship with Christ, who is the living water, he is the bread of life, and he will completely satisfy your soul and mine. That's why we fast. We see things we don't like. We hear things that we don't agree with. We're forced to deal with things that we should have never been forced to deal with. And many times we don't know what to do with those things. And so many times we turn to unhealthy expressions. And so the challenge for all of us, the reason to fast, is to forego the comforts of this world, to place the emphasis upon our relationship with Christ, who is the living water, the bread of life. And he is the only one that will completely satisfy your soul. The second thing that we need to do is we need to recognize the need to fast. Why fast? Jesus said, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. We're living in those days. The bridegroom has been taken away, and yet Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit as a seal for redemption. I want to give us four main reasons to fast, to recognize why we have a need to fast. The first is that we should hunger for all of the fullness of God. In Ephesians 3, verse 19, we're told, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you, that I, may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Whatever we're hungering for, that's what really drives us. That really what motivates us. And we should be filled with all the fullness of God. And our hunger for God should be more than our hunger for anything of this world. And that, my friends, is a way and a reason why we need to fast. Because in this life, many times we hunger and we thirst for things of this world. And we satisfy, albeit only temporary. And then we go right back to doing what we do. And we never really experience that living water, that true satisfaction of our soul. And we go right back out. And we go and do the things. And we have no reason why we're not at peace. We have no reason why we don't have the encouragement. And friends, it's all about hungering. Hungering for all of the fullness of God in your soul and in my soul. In your heart and in my heart. The second reason to fast is we have tasted the goodness of Christ and we want more. Peter says it this way. He says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. For you have tasted the kindness, the goodness of the Lord. I want to challenge all of you that are here to remember that day when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To remember that day. And why do I say that? Because many times we get so far away from that day that we forget. And then we forget the goodness of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when I hear about an individual coming to salvation and receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it causes me to move back some odd 30-some years in my life and to remember that day, because heaven forbid you and I forget that the goodness of Christ, we've forgotten it all. We need to remember that we have tasted the goodness of Christ, and we need to remember that we want more. We want more of Jesus in our life. And that, my friends, is a reason to fast. The third reason is it's an expression of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We know the risen Christ has brought the kingdom of God to us. For he said in Luke, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then in Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, lo, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. You see, Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God. We live in the kingdom of God. And because we live in the kingdom of God, we live in the anticipation and the expectation of what he is going to do next. And so we express our faith in the manner of saying, I believe you, Jesus, that you are going to return what anybody of this world says. I don't care what the doubters say. I don't care what anybody who does not believe says. I believe your word to be true. And we fast as an expression of our faith. The fourth main reason to fast is as a response to some grievous event. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 through 15 says, yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, to tear your heart, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Who knows whether he will turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, a cereal offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. This event, this grievous event, could be sin. It could be an injustice of the world, a national disaster, health concerns, grief over a loss, or any other moving event in our life which causes us to yearn for more of God. This past week, I read of a story of a horrible abuse of a teenage boy. And I'm here to tell you that it moved me deep to my core. And the problem with all of us is this, is that we get so polluted and we get so tainted by this world. We become so numb to the injustices of this life. And when we fast, we experience some discomfort and we grow in our relationship with Christ. And when we grow in our relationship with Christ, we see things through the eyes of God. We see things that he sees. We hear things that he hears. And our hearts are changed. In Joel, we're told four things, four commands, to return to the Lord with all your heart, to return with fasting, weeping, mourning. The second command is to tear your heart, to rend your heart, exposing what exists in your heart. It's been said that when we fast, we reveal what is in our lives that controls us. So what's in your heart that controls you? You experience some discomfort, and it will bubble up to the top. Fasting truly does tear open our hearts for the Lord's good, for his sake, for his use, for his purpose. And Joel says, return to the Lord again. Why? Because he's gracious, he's merciful, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in steadfast love. And lastly, he says, sanctify a fast. Set it apart for God's use. Set it apart for God. So we are to fast for God. And saying we are no longer content with the things of this world, and we wish to exchange them for more of God's fullness. Hear that. When you fast, you're no longer content with the status quo. There should be something resonating deep within our souls that make us long for eternity, when the wrongs will be made right, when there will be no more suffering, there will be no more tears, there will not be more pain or anguish. And friends, if there's not, then is it possible you and I have been so polluted by the things of this world that we just have contaminated ourselves? And the pureness of God's love and mercy and grace needs to come back into your heart and my heart in such a manner that we will be moved by what moves God. We have tasted that the Lord is good, and nothing in this world truly satisfies like Jesus. So we will forsake some of the comforts of this life in exchange for more of Jesus in our heart. Lastly, we get to the result from fasting. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 14. Now, this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "Is this not the fast that I choose?" So this is the type of fast that God chooses. And listen to these qualifications. He says, "To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, and when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own flesh?" Listen to the result. If you choose to fast with doing those things and to set your life apart for God, "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, your comfort, your security. And you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am,' if you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually." Three main results from fasting. Our hearts are aligned to God's heart. I want you to hear that. When you and I fast, our hearts are aligned to God's heart. Don't miss that. Because many times we all struggle with the fact of, you know, we want a little bit of Jesus in a lot of the world. And you know what? Jesus said, "Hey, nope, you need a lot of me and a little bit of the world." Quite frankly, we don't need any of the world. But don't we all choose it? A lot of the world and a little bit of Jesus. The first main result from fasting: our hearts are aligned to God's heart. The above text, we're told the fast the Lord chooses is to loose the bonds of wickedness. What moves you? What causes you to stop and ponder? There's a commercial on television showing starving children. And I'm here to confess that many times that commercial comes on and I'm reaching for the remote because I don't want to be faced with that. And I don't believe I'm the only one either. And that speaks of a heart condition. That speaks of something that doesn't move us because we're so comfortable in our creature comforts here. And yet when we fast, we choose willingly, and our motivation is out of love for Jesus to experience some discomfort, our hearts are moved and they are aligned to God's heart. And God's heart is to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the oppression of those that are burdened, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. God, my friends, also wants us to share our food with the hungry and to help the homeless and clothe the needy. Yet he doesn't want us to just do it. He wants our motive to be love. He wants our motive to be pure and undefiled. He wants the reason behind why we do it is to serve them, because that's his heart. The second result from fasting is our motives and what controls us will always be revealed. And this, my friends, will allow the Lord to shape and to form you. If something is concealed, we have no ability to deal with it. When you fast and you experience that discomfort and God brings to the surface that which controls and that which, you know, shapes you and why you do what you do, then you and I can go to the Lord and say, hey, this is where I'm struggling. And a third reason or result from fasting is to cause us to stop doing dead works. And yes, I said dead works or service. You see, because the Bible says, as I mentioned earlier, that it without the proper heart behind those acts of service, they're just dead works and they have no meaning. God is not honored by them. He, quite frankly, would rather that we didn't do them. And so we need to stop doing dead works or dead service. Our proper heart behind those acts of service needs to be the love of Christ. So what are we to do this Lenten season in closing? I'd like to call us to a season of fasting, all of us. Now to qualify this, I'm not talking about the full 40 days. I'm talking about one day a week. Now it can be that you fast. It can be anything of your choosing. But yet, this season should be a season of anticipation, self-examination, and preparation for the upcoming day of celebration that we call Easter. You could choose to fast from a single meal one day each week, or it can be from a single type of food. I know individuals that fast chocolate. I know individuals that fast meat. It can be a fast from all carbonated beverages, or it can be a fast from all media such as television. Yeah, try this one on. How about putting these down for a day? How about turning off the iPads, the iPods, shutting off the internet for a day? See how much noise really floods your heart. See what's really there. And if you stop and you think, I could never, maybe that's where you need to go. Because when we all walk out the door without this and then we're doing this and struggling around trying to find it, you know what I'm talking about. We all do it. It's got control of your heart. And friends, God is a jealous God, and he doesn't want you to be controlled by anything. He doesn't want me to be controlled by anything. What he wants is he wants your whole heart. You can fast from all media such as television, cell phones. Turn off the TV 1 hour, one day every week, and take that time and spend it in growing your relationship with Jesus. Can be anything of your choosing. The only requirement should be that we do this in preparation for the celebration of Easter. If you're not doing it for that, don't do it. See, that's why we fast, to prepare ourselves for the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart, in my heart, and to bring us closer to our relationship with Christ. So I would like to invite you all to join me this season of Lent by giving up something in an act of sacrificial service to allow the Lord to bring you closer to his heart so we as a church family, Trinity United Methodist Church, can more effectively serve Jesus Christ in this world. Would you please join me? I don't want to know what your sacrifice is. I don't want you to share with anyone. Let the fruit grow in your heart.